Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Good morning. New York City. Your Knicks are up 2-0 halfway to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that's a real sentence. That's a real thing against the defending champions, the Boston Celtics, who no one had them taking more than a game from. 888-808-1019. I'm so impressed with these guys' intestinal fortitude, their mental toughness. That is what sports are about. I'm so impressed with their mentality as far as just believing in themselves, communicating with each other, locking in. And, like, they've taken on this mantra of New York versus everybody. And it's not just the New York Knicks. They're carrying the city with them. You have no reason not to believe. And when I listen to them in the postgame, I'm like, okay. I just keep saying they're dialed. They're focused. And go listen to the Boston Celtics. Like, Kristaps Porzingis. Like, he's sick right now. And he's like, I hate that this is happening right now. It's so much of a woe is me vibe. It's so much of a depressed, sad vibe. Like, you would think that the Knicks just went up 3-0 the way that the Celtics are talking. Let's play some audio from, you know, some of the Knicks postgame. I think it's important to play what these guys are talking about after. And their whole vibe is very, you know, Kobe-like. Job finished, job not finished, job not done. So here's OG talking about, like I said, how they're watching film, and I gave Tibbs some credit. Here's OG after game talking about, you know, job's not finished, you know, got to watch some film, got to get better.
Can you please describe your emotions as you're on the kill, quiet, know you're going to leave here 2-0, down 20 both games?
I'm just excited after we won, but no, we still have to go back, watch the film, and get better because I hope that we play as well as we can.
Yeah, just quiet. OG, you know, OG is. He's got his hood up. He seems like he wants to just get on the bus so they can come back home. I have some more audio. Connor Stan with us. You know, Mikal Bridges talking about in game the conversations that they're having on the bench while, you know, they're down in the game and the stadium is erupting, but they're staying the course.
I think we're just confident, you know, confident knowing just always going to find a way, you know. A lot of us staying on the bench while we're down, just like we've been here before, you know. We've been here before, and pretty sure we're going to win this game. And I think it kind of, you can look in everybody's eyes, and it's kind of not a stress look. It's kind of like a confident look, and knowing that, all right, like, see how much time left. We're just taking one play at a time. You can't get all back in one play. Just, you know, score offense, get a stop, and keep trying to do on both ends.
Weather the storm and experience plays. This is the last thing I say before I get back to you at 888-808-1019. There was so much talk about this team's lack of chemistry because it's their first year together. Well, it seems like they've built that chemistry through the playoffs. There was so much talk about this team's lack of toughness, hearkening back to last year's team being tougher. No one's talking about that now. They're clearly tougher than the Celtics. So let's continue. Let's go to Lou in Boston, but he's from Brooklyn on The Fan in New York.
Hey, first of all, I just have to place the setting, so if you can give me a minute. I'm at Encore Casino playing poker. Everybody's watching the game. There's not a Knicks fan in sight. And I just let out the biggest scream at the end, and people just looked at me with daggers. But what if I'm telling you, as a Knicks fan, I'd rather be there in that casino screaming out that the Knicks won and everybody wanting to probably punch my lights out. It was one of the best moments I've had in sporting history.
They're sick right now. In my section in Yankee Stadium, two rows in front of me, there was a older gentleman wearing a Celtics hat and a Celtics jersey. He had the audacity to come to Yankee Stadium like that. And not far to his left was a loud young Knicks fan, and he was wearing his ass out, and he would not stop. Even the guy was kind of looking away, and he's like, look at me. I'm not done with you. Knicks in four. Knicks in four. So it's just it's that type of time. It's New York versus Boston, and they were so cavalier. They were so arrogant and so cocky about how the Knicks didn't belong on the floor with them. What say you now?
Right, right. And just as a side note, I coached basketball up here, and I know Mr. Thibodeau since he coached at Salem State. He's had quite a meteoric rise. It's amazing, like, to know someone when they first started out Division III college basketball, and now he's the star of New York. I got my questions about his coaching, but you can't, like you said, mad respect, mad putting down. But if we're going to do it New York style, we got to give him some respect for what he did. I mean, he's doing a really good job there. And I think the Knicks win in six. I don't think sooner, but I'm hoping we win in six. And you know, what's the weirdest part to me is they're going to probably play the Indiana Pacers if they win the series, which puts them in a very good position to play in the finals.
One step at a time. Thanks for the call, Lou. We'll go back a little bit. Yes, that's why I made Tom Thibodeau the big shot of the night, because he does get disrespected. I think I was listening to a call today, and the caller was talking about, you know, the minutes police. And it's like, shut up about that. Like, all of the things that you hated on with the Knicks have been corrected or have come to fruition as good things. All of the minutes that those guys played in the regular season, they are conditioned. They are ready for this. They can go OT with you. They can go to the last seconds with you. They have their legs under them. The Celtics do not. And, like, that's coaching. That's strategy. I'm going to play my starters. I'm going to play my guys. Because when we get to the playoffs, this is who I'm relying on. 888-808-1019. I mean, him being from Connecticut, and I think he said at one point in time he was a Celtics fan and he coached with the Celtics, for him to step in there, there was a pregame where he gave a ton of credit to the Boston Celtics franchise and how you come in here and, you know, you come into the practice facility and you see all the banners and the history and you know what it means. He knows what it means. That's why he has his team ready. That's why he has these guys prepared. That's why they showed up to fight. And even down 20 in the fight, they know there's no bell yet. The game isn't over. I've been extremely impressed with the coaching decisions and moves and who's in these games and how effective these guys are in the games and how they're just, like, locked in and fighting and coming up victorious. So, yeah. And then as far as, like, you know, being in enemy territory, like, right now these Celtics fans are sick, and they've been peacocking for a long time. They've been cocky for a long time. And I said that they're among us, right? So some of them have tickets to be in Madison Square Garden, but you can keep them quiet. They're going to have to pipe down. Those Let's Go Celtics chants are not going to be as loud as they thought they were, being down two games. Let's go to Matt in Albany on the fan. What's up, Matt?
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I watched the game by myself at home, and I thought about my old man, God rest his soul, because I'm old enough that he and I went to the Garden back in 73, the last time the Knicks brought home the big trophy. And they made believers out of me tonight. I'm very comfortable and confident now. I don't know if it's the spirit of Dick Barnett, but I just think that these guys, they don't seem to panic. They don't seem to look at the circumstance and get upset. They just quietly go about their business. And I was shocked when I commented to myself that the noise coming out of the fans in Boston at the facility made it seem like it was a Knick home game to me, just watching it first time through.
Yes, sir.
They owned that building.
Knicks fans made the trip. They went up there. And thank you for sharing that with me, Matt. 888-808-1019. I'm going to continue down that route with you. You know, there are Knicks fans whose dads are Knicks fans and brothers are Knicks fans, and they struggled and went through all the down years of, man, we ain't even making the playoffs. There is no playoffs. And Now you have a team. Now you have the most clutch player in the league. Now you have the right coach. Now you have the right cast of characters, all stars, all defensive players, and Iron Man, big money guys. And it should make you a little bit emotional. I was driving down the Harlem River Drive, you know, looking at the Brooklyn Bridge and looking at the city glow tonight. And I'm like, wow, I know there are so many people in this city happy tonight. The Mets won earlier. The Yankees just walked it off. And I saw with my own eyes, strangers in a section, in all the sections of Yankee Stadium, strangers for the most part, right? We're, you know, 42,000 people in there. Maybe you came with two people. Maybe you came with 20. But for the most part, strangers dapping each other up, hugging, people sharing phones and watching, and people looking up the scores and giving updates. Like, what else connects us like that? What else does that to us as a city? And, like, this city is the hardest place to make it in the world. This place, if I can make it there, like, if you can make it in New York, you have made it. This city will beat you up and pull you down. And you know, and I know, there's so many things that cost money. There's traffic, there's crime, there's issues and all these things, but it's New York or nowhere. If you survive here and you stay here, you understand. And when that energy, right, gets put into the team and the team actually carries that type of energy with them, and we have these moments where we can live vicariously through them and they embody that spirit, there's literally nothing more powerful than that. It's just crazy. Like, if you're into sports like that and it's a family thing, or you have friends, or you're listening to this radio station right now, 12:15 on May 8th, and you're still thinking about, wow, the Knicks are 2 wins away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Wow, the Pacers, who we lost to last year, are up 2 games, and we should have beat them last year. We might get a rematch. The writing is on the wall, and if we go see them, we're going to the finals. The finals could be coming to the Garden. Slow down. Let's slow down. Let's slow down. Omar is out west in San Francisco on the fan. What's up, Omar?
How is your New York morning, Keith?
Great. I'm blessed to be the voice on the fan right now, you know?
Oh, man, let me tell you, as a season ticket holder back in the 90s in Madison Square Garden, tonight was just absolutely beautiful, walking through the streets of San Francisco after that win, wearing my Knicks jersey, and getting a lot of high fives from people out here who are rooting for the Knicks. Let me tell you, let me make a few quick points. Number one, the mental toughness of this team is just absolutely terrific, and the vibe is really, really good. And let me tell you, I just think that Tibbs has outcoached Joe Mazzulla in this series so far. His professionalism and his X's and O's, I think, have been top-notch. Really proud of what he's done and what this team effort is. And I also want to say to you another thing. These two wins have been absolutely brilliant. One thing I do worry about, the Knicks have to avoid coming out the way they did in Game 5 at the Garden against the Pistons. And that's the one thing I am a little concerned about. The Celtics are obviously a better team, and so the Knicks have to be careful with it. And then the last thing I want to say is the Celtics definitely felt they could come in and beat us. And we are living rent-free in their heads now. They do not know what to do with us.
100% correct. Thanks for the call, Omar. I wouldn't worry about what the Knicks come out like. It's a different series. It's a different matchup. It's a different energy. Like, I just know. I've been in the Garden. I was in the Garden for the Heat series in the second round. I think I was at Game 5. And, like, it is the epicenter. It is, like, it is the Mecca. It is the center of the New York universe with sports and everything. Like, this Saturday at 3:30, all eyes will be on the New York Knicks in that building. The tickets are probably sky high. I'll take a look at it when we go to the next break. But, like, everybody who's anybody's going to be in there. Celebrity Row is going to be the most ridiculous Celebrity Row they can get. Like, and I think the Knicks are going to feed off that energy. I do always say it's the world's most famous arena, so all these players in the NBA dream of putting on a show there and playing there. But I'm telling you, Tatum's wrist is hurt. Jaylen Brown's got to be feeling something in his knee. Drew Holiday with that late foul, that stupid foul. I'm like, he's just coming off injury. Fatigue makes a coward out of all of us. They look slow. They look lost. Porzingis has some type of stomach flu. right? He was a non-factor. There's a lot of things that are turning up in favor of the Knicks. I would not start to think too much about what will or won't be at home. I know the Celtics are a good road team, but man, the energy that the Knicks are going to have because of the belief of the fans with this city behind them, they're going to feed off that. And your thoughts become things. And the Celtics are already down. So the Celtics, this next game is a must-win for them. It's not a must-win for the Knicks. And you guys have watched these games. The Knicks are not out of it down 20. So you can't kill them. The Celtics know they got to go up 25-30 and keep them down until that clock runs out. And the Knicks aren't going for it. They're just not. So shout out to you if you've already got your tickets secured. If you do, call us up, 888-808-1019. And even if you don't, man, they're doing such a great job with these watch parties. And you can be outside and watch. And it's the most wonderful time, man. I mean, they're doing it and they're carrying the city. And people just get to, you know, live vicariously through the Knicks and feel this joy and this energy that, like, is just rare. It doesn't happen a lot. So let's stay in it. Let's keep talking to you guys about it. Alex is in the Bronx on the Fan next. What's up, Alex?
What up, KM to them AM, boy? I'm going to tell you something right now, man. I'm handing it up, smoking on that Boston pack. Goddamn. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to keep 100% with you. I was nervous. I swear to God, I was nervous on the first quarter. Bridges made five easy layups. Miss it. But then he made up for it on the fourth. He made up on the fourth. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They don't know how to play us when Big Mitch is there. Big Mitch is the big reason why we're winning. Low key.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, 100%. Big Mitch, Bridges stepped it up. You know, Brunson's always going to be Brunson, but Big Mitch was the key. That's why we was all four against them. And I can't be 100% with you. Now, my schedule's changed. I was supposed to go to the Yankee game versus the Mets on Friday. I'm a big Mets fan. But I have a lot of Yankee people, you know what I'm saying, with me. I live right next to Yankee Stadium. But now, I have to have a Yankee and Mets TV, and I have to have a Knicks game. And we're going to go. We changed it. Now we're going on Saturday because I can't miss the game. I can't miss game six. Yankees and Mets on the TV, game six. And then, you know, I schedule. You know, we all, you know, agree. We go now Saturday to see Soto. Do what we do, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I'm just happy, bro.
What if it's Knicks in five? Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they're up 2-0.
You know? So, you know, I'm cool, you know what I'm saying, go watching the Yankees and Mets on Saturday, even though we're going to go on Friday, you know? So, hey, thanks for picking up our phone call. And, you know, I'm a big fan of you, bro. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and keep doing what you're doing, you know?
Appreciate it.
Let's go, Knicks, baby.
hope to see you at the Subway Series. I'll be there Friday, Saturday, maybe even Sunday. Definitely Friday. Don't have tickets yet, but it is what it is. I know I'm going. Because there's just a vibe and an energy. It's May. It's getting warmer out. I'm getting older. I'm a dad. I got a young kid. I'm like, I don't know how long I have to be out here in this energy with the people in New York City living in this. Like I said, tonight, the experience I had in Yankee Stadium, I've never been in there. I think I've been in there when the Rangers have won some games and they'll put the Rangers on the big screen. But the experience I had tonight where, like, I'm watching the entire Knick game in the section and I'm the one in my row that has the actual game on the phone. And like I said, there's a guy behind me. He's a little bit ahead of us, but you could just hear the murmurs and the oohs and the ahs and the, yeah, let's go, foul, oh, bang. Like, you could hear that in Yankee Stadium. They're not looking at Jackson Merrill. They're not looking at Dylan Cease. I never experienced a game in the playoffs because the Knicks aren't in it all the time. You know, so, you know, to be sitting in Yankee Stadium, and that was a big game. That was a nationally televised game on MLB Network. Shout out to my guy, Alex, who works over at MLB Network. You know, he was like, yo, they just, you know, they had the roll call. Or my guy, Anthony, who works at MLB Network. He's like, they had the roll call. They were showing you guys for a while. I'm like, yeah, because the national audience, they're showing them the bleacher creatures. It, it's an ace matchup. It's Dylan Cease versus Max Fried. And, you know, for the Knicks to steal the show from the Yankees and to see, you know, that many people, to hell with the Celtics, F the Celtics. I hate the Celtics. And I love New Yorkers and I love New York Yankee fans. And to see Yankee fans in that section all reacting, and then the Yankees put up the 91-90 graphic final on the big screen in the whole stadium. Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Knicks. Like, you don't have to be a Knicks fan. You don't have to be a New Yorker. But being in there for that vibe and that energy, like, that's crazy. You can't make that stuff up. Like, that's a scene out of a movie when you have that many people in there all on the same wavelength. 888-808-1019. Jeremy out on Long Island on the Fan next. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing, Keith? Hey, I love your show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
You mentioned earlier about when you realize the Knicks were like coming back or whatever. It was a while ago. But yeah. I don't want to name the bar that was at, but this girl like was in a full Knicks jersey, like serving drinks to me. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then she took off her top, literally. And I'm trying to keep it family friendly, so I'm not going to like say any like bad words or whatever.
It's almost 12:30.
That was when I realized that it was over, bro. 100%. We were down by, like,
she lost it and lost her shirt.
Dude, that is when I realized we won at that point. I'm just saying, like, there's some energy about this team. People are going crazy, like, for no reason.
No, they're losing it in a way that it's like you can't control yourself. Like, I'm telling you, there were people behind us. They were jumping up and down in their seats. I can't blame them because it comes from all the struggle, all the suffer, all the pain, all the losing. Thanks for the call, Jeremy. And it's like, I say this all the time about sports and fandom. Stay down till you come up. The Knicks are up 2-0. 888-808-1019. You stay down till you come up. You pick a team, you stay loyal to them. Because, man, after you put in all that pain, the, like, the joy and the euphoria of success and winning, you can't tell the Knicks fans anything right now. And I'm not trying to. I'm sitting back, right? I'm sitting back. You got it. It is your world. Knicks tape, all that. You got it. Call me up and tell me how you feel. In Phoenix, we got the national show tonight. We got people calling from east to west. Christian on the Fan.
Yo, what up? What up? What up, man? Yo, let me tell you something. Before I get to my Nick point, so out here in downtown, I live in downtown Phoenix, and it felt tonight, Keith, like a mini New York City, because you had the Mets in town, right? So we're all at the Mets game, and then the Mets game ended close to 2:45, 3. Everybody swarmed out and went to the closest bar right here in downtown. So it is just flooded in like Knicks jerseys, Mets jerseys. I was like, yo, this is absolutely insane out here. I mean, you got people spilling outside the bar saying, let's go Knicks. People are hyped over the Mets win. Soto hitting two bombs. I mean, it was just a great day out here in Phoenix. And, yo, just absolutely, it just felt like, you know, I lived in New York my whole life. Now I've been out here 2 years now. And, like, it just felt like I was home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt like I was home. And it was just absolutely such an amazing feeling. But I want to go to my next point, man. Like, you know, and I really hope, like, what people saw the last two games from Mikal Bridges understand the process now. I know a lot of people complaining about all the picks we gave up. And now we're not going to sign Mikal to this big contract that he wants. But if people understand the way these GMs and ownership thinks when they sign players and they make these kind of transactions in the league, it is so thought out to a T. And people can say what they want to say about Mikal Bridges and his performance through the year. Well, guess what? Ownership doesn't care. The GM doesn't care. That's not what we brought him here for. We got Mikal Bridges for this exact moment and this moment only.
Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. And people have to understand that. You know, there's a method to this madness. And when these big players come to these cities, it's not, oh, you know, we want them to go off for 80-plus games. No, it's for this moment. And so I really hope people that were bashing Mikal Bridges and bashing Leon Rose for this, man, like these two games show that Leon really cooked his behind off in putting his team together. And so, like, yeah, I mean, it's just good to be a Knicks fan right now, man.
Great call, Christian. Thanks for that. And, yeah, you know, New Yorkers are everywhere. We've taken a call from San Francisco, a call from a New Yorker that was in Boston, now Phoenix. And then, you know it, when you go other places, there are bars where, like, this is the New York bar. You could watch the Yankees here. You could watch the Mets here. You could watch the Rangers here, the Knicks here. There are New Yorkers everywhere. And, like, that's what I say, again, going back to, like, how hard it is to survive out here, to make it out here. When you do go elsewhere, you still carry that with you. You still carry, it's part of your identity. And, you know, the Mets going out there and taking the series from the Diamondbacks today with Kodai Senga on the mound had to have it. And then Juan Soto performing like he did right now. Juan Soto's got another, was in a span of like a week, Juan Soto's got another two-homer game. And the Mets make it happen. And so if you're out there traveling to see the Mets on a trip, like when I was younger, I used to go see the Yankees play in any city, like Chase Field. I've been to Chase Field. Chase Field is a great ballpark to go see. And then, you know, Phoenix is a great party city. You can time it up with going to the Mets, you know, rubber match game, watching that game, watching them win, and then going to the bars and finding fellow New Yorkers. And that's the thing about New Yorkers too, right? With that orange and blue, you might see somebody with the orange and blue Met hat, somebody else have the Brunson jersey on. All right, yep, they're pulling a chair closer to you, and now you feel like you got a little home away from home. 888-808-1019 is great. It's great. And winning is everything. And being proud of these New York sports teams is everything. The Mets weren't good like this. I mean, they've been, but it's been spotty. The Knicks had such a stretch of never playing like this, never looking like this. So when you combine the two, it's like, it's a great feeling. It just feels like New York is on top, and it matches what people say about, you know, New York being the greatest city in the world. To have the sports teams that match that type of energy, it makes you proud. And when you're away from the city, I can't imagine that. That's got to be a hell of a feeling, because people are looking at you differently, right? Like, they're looking at you like, oh, you're from New York? I know whenever I travel places or go somewhere with a Yankee logo on, whether, you know, I've been to Amsterdam, I've been to all these different places, Ireland, London, and someone has, you're from New York? Yeah, there's just a different level of, like, validation people give you. Like, oh, like, from the actual city? Like, me, I'm from Jersey, but I'm like, I live in the city, I work in the city. What do you do? Nah, don't worry about that. Jeff is in Long Hill next up on The Fan. Jeff, what you got for us tonight?
How you doing, Keith?
Great, man. Nonstop calls. A lot to talk about. A Knicks win, a Mets win, a Yankee win. And when our teams win, we feel like we won and everybody's feeling pretty good. There's no complaining. There's no yelling, no fighting, no ranting and raving on The Fan tonight.
Oh, you're not lying, man. I was at that game, too. I don't know how you still have a voice. I was sitting section 236. So when the Knicks, I think the way that the timeline worked out was the Knicks won, and then Luke Weaver gave up two straight runs, right?
Yep. And we didn't really trip because everybody was still focused on.
I know. It was crazy. He's giving up hits, and everyone's going buck wild over the Knicks winning the game.
Never a doubt.
Sitting in the front row,
never a doubt that the Yankees were going to come back and win.
Right.
And them going up 3-1 didn't kill the celebration. You know, we get the Trent Grisham hit. And we just knew.
Goodness. That was the great. I mean, I'm the biggest Trent Grisham fan in the world, man. I love this guy to death. I feel like he's such a ball player.
I call him the bashful basher now. I'm like, this guy hits home runs and then he looks into the stands. He doesn't watch the ball land. The bashful basher. And he's been 10 home runs. Like, he's been so clutch. You love
insane.
To see him.
It's insane. I think he's really working himself into a leadoff spot.
Against his former team. And, you know, we're trying to get Dominguez in there. And obviously Bellinger had a big day today. Great problems to have. All of our outfielders are playing pretty decent and contributing. Dominguez with his speed. And, you know, he made a nice play in the outfield throwing the ball in. He also was able to advance from second to third on the tag, and, you know, just little things like that I noticed today with the Yankees. I'm like, they have an athletic team. They have some clutch players, and that's a postseason-type matchup. 42,000 people in attendance, and the Padres are a team that have superstars. They have Dylan Cease on the mound. They were looking like, you know, we were getting no hit for seven innings. They were looking like they were about to come in there and just take that game from us. And the Yankees walked it off like that. Devin Williams, I can't say enough about. Like I said, I apologize to Devin
that was
Williams.
Incredible.
I spiraled into the negativity of like, how is this ever going to work?
It has to work. The Yankees, at the end of the day, won off of two hits. They had a two-hit win. They scored four runs with two hits.
However it worked, however we got it done. As
absolutely.
I said, the Knicks energy somehow floated from Massachusetts to the Bronx.
I think so.
And I think the Yankees,
think that was the
Yankees obviously know because they're in there and they hear fans cheering and they're not dumb. They know the Knicks are playing. They know that we're not cheering because, you know, two runs were scored by the Padres.
You think so?
They
I just feel like
know.
All these guys are from all these different places, you know, like Judge is from California and, you know, Grisham's, I don't know where he's from, but like these guys aren't from the area. You think they gravitate to the Knicks like that, or you think these guys still hold their hometown fandom?
They're professional athletes in this city. I guarantee you some of them will, I won't say I guarantee you some of them will be there Saturday because they're meeting on the road, but they go to these games. I know Volpe's locked in. I've seen Judge, Volpe. I've seen those guys at the Knicks games. They know it's game two tonight. They know what's going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
And they know that their fans double as Knicks fans and that Yankee fans are so locked into the game, we would not be cheering the Yankees going down, especially with Luke Weaver.
Yeah, I know.
We wouldn't.
It was like you were saying earlier, like the entire row I was in, everyone was on their phone watching the Knicks. It was incredible. What an incredible night for New York, man.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. The same thing with me. I was one of them. My boy Gabe posted me. I'm like, I got to be on the radio tonight to talk about this. And I'm like, I knew I was coming to this game, but I knew I had to also watch the Knick game. And I made sure my phone was charged, and I did both. Shout out to Anthony for sending me the tickets today. I was like, I'm going to the game, but I'm going to watch the Knick game too. And I wasn't alone. Somebody wrote on Twitter, they're like, oh, you guys are bums. How are you a Knick fan? And I'm not a Knick fan, but how are you a Knick fan going to the Yankee game while the Knicks are playing in game two? I'm like, it's 2025. We all had it on our phone in real time. Like, why wouldn't you? It's a nice night out. Instead of sitting alone in your basement, why wouldn't you go to the Yankee game, watch the Yankees take the series, and then also watch the Knicks win on your phone with a bunch of other strangers that are just as locked in? 888-808-1019. We got to take a break here. We're on the other side of 12:30. I'm running out of time, but we got plenty of time. We're going to pretty much keep it Knicks, but I'll add a couple things in about the Mets and the Yankee game like I've been doing. I just want to talk to you. I want, you know, more Knicks fans to live in this 2-0 series tonight. It's just improbable. I don't think anybody thought this was, you know, really going to happen. I know some crazy Knicks fans believe, but, I mean, now you got to believe you can take this whole thing. So 888-808-1019. Call me up with your thoughts, your takes, and whatever else you want to get in on the fan tonight. This is Keith McPherson. I'll be right back.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
And we're back, and I told you we'd be back. 888-808-1019. The New York Knicks have gone to Beantown and come home with two wins. And there are pundits and people that are going to get on TV and radio all day today and have to walk back their arrogant, cocky statements. They're going to have to change their tone. They're going to have to try and figure out how the Celtics come back and win this series. But there is nothing that I have seen to tell me that the Celtics will somehow magically get the upper hand. Let's look at the team stats for a second before we get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. It is glaring that they shot 40 threes and only hit 10 of them. If you add that to the first game, they have hit 25 out of 100. It's historic. It's never happened before. It is so historically bad. Their field goal percentage is 36.2. That's why I said the audacity of the Celtics to shoot so many threes and not go to a different strategy or game plan, but I don't think they can. The Knicks are D'ing them up, and these guys are hurt. Jaylen Brown had a little bit of fire to him, you know, but like Tatum does not look right. He does not look himself. Derek White's going to hoist up 11 threes, only hit three. Al Horford, old. Kristaps Porzingis, non-factor really. Sick, and only played 14 minutes, And, yo, he played 14 minutes in the first game that he ended up, you know, like, he wasn't. Kristaps Porzingis wasn't in the game in the end of the game. Is that because he's ill? Is that because he's sick? And then Peyton Pritchard, the sixth man of the year, who some nights could go off for 20. He ain't been like that, bro. He shot an air ball in this game where I was like, they are cooked. They look lost. They look trash. Jason Tatum, who is the pretty boy, cover boy, supposed to be some type of face of the league. I got 13. And they can't get to the hoop correctly. Like, they can't get to the open shot. They can't pass the ball, find the open man. And a lot of that is the defensive strategy. And the Knicks just believing and sticking to them. They obviously went on some runs. But nah, the Knicks had them right where they wanted them the whole time. Let's see. Points in the paint, even at 42 and 42. Turnovers. The Knicks had some turnovers early where I'm like, you know, there were early points in this game. I'm putting together notes. I'm like, you know, Celtics are chucking up the threes. Knicks are turning the ball over. And, you know, not a great start. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. The Knicks are a team that they finished the game. Celtics, again, largest lead, 20 points. Barely out-rebounded them. But, yeah, I mean, the only stat that matters is that one. And like I said earlier in the show tonight, how crazy is it? We're sitting in there, and Gabe was like, yo, they changed Mikal Bridges 2-3. And the Knicks win by 1 point. Charlie and Holmdale on the fan. Thanks for holding. You got it. Charlie, going once and twice, and we got too many people on hold to really let you get back. You're still there, Charlie. If you wake up and you want to check back in, just stay there, and I'll come back to you. Don in Fort Lee on the fan. Are you awake still off of that Knicks victory?
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm so pumped up right now, Keith. So pumped up. By the way, I love your show. I love the way that you're partial, unbiased. I know you're a Yankee homer. I know you have your teams, but you still treat all the callers with great respect and, you know, for their own teams, and you look at it objectively. So I think I think you're evolving and you're getting better at what you do.
It's bigger than me. I just have learned over time it is much bigger than me. It ain't always about my fandom or my feelings and, you know, the teams that I chose when I was a kid. It's about the city and this radio station and doing a good show and letting people like yourself call in and have your, you know, few minutes to say what you feel and what you saw. And, you know, I just get it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So what I was going to say was the three Villanova guys, I'm a Villanova grad, and these guys are true leaders. And they won at the college level together multiple championships. So that kind of carries over. They have that experience of playing under pressure and handling that. And the fact that Tibbs plays extra minutes for all these guys throughout the year, they have their legs under them, just as you were stating. And I just think it's not an accident that so many shots are getting missed. It's because the defense intensity is so high in the playoffs, and you're working so hard every possession to stop the other team, that you're exhausted, and when it comes time to shooting the ball, you don't have your legs, you don't have your stamina, you're exhausted, and that's why there's so many bricks, you know, so many shots that are up by so much. I think it's no accident.
I'll hit you with the numbers. OG had a block. Karl-Anthony Towns had a block. Brunson had a block. Josh Hart had two blocks. OG had four steals. Bridges had three steals. Mitchell Robinson had three steals. Miles McBride had a steal. They are blocking these guys' shots and taking the ball from them. They are on them like that, and yes, there is a championship pedigree that exists from the Villanova Wildcats program with Jay Wright. If you've listened to the podcast, which I have, and some of the stories they tell about their practices and what was expected of them and how they had to play, that has carried over. And I remember saying, like, that was, you know, getting these guys back together in the NBA was a little bit of a way, a cheat code to kind of build chemistry faster, right? Like, they're carrying the chemistry that they had in college over to the NBA. They've been through battles together, and when it gets to crunch time, they have experience. Experience plays. The moment isn't too big for them. And then even when you look at their NBA experience, Mikal Bridges has played in a finals. OG Anunoby is a champion. Karl-Anthony Towns has played in the playoffs multiple years, has experience playing in a conference finals. Jalen Brunson when he was with the Mavericks. And then obviously now with the Knicks, they're in the playoffs. They have the playoff experience. Even Campaign coming off the bench, he was with that Suns team. Like, they have guys that they're like, this, the moment's not too big for us. We're good. Lock in.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, at Villanova, Jay Wright, he stressed fundamentals above everything else. That's what, it was no accident that his Villanova teams would lead the nation in free throw shooting. And one year they shot 83% as a team, and that's everybody on the team as a whole shot 83%. So that's just, you know, that's a reflection of how he taught these kids and how, you know, with the fundamentals.
Yeah, yeah, got to hit your free throws. Thanks for the call, Don. 888-808-1019. I mean, the Knicks could still do a little bit better knocking down free throws. Tonight they shot 80%, but so did the Celtics. They were 8 for 10. The Celtics were 12 for 15. I know I saw Bridges miss one. I saw Mitchell Robinson miss one. Ultimately, though, it's when it comes down to crunch time, the Celtics are folding. The Celtics are lost. The Celtics are worried. Their fans are panicking. The Knicks are even-keeled. They're calm, cool, collected. And you know what? Man, I give a ton of credit to Mikal Bridges because I watched him play for the Brooklyn Nets a lot. And I could tell that he was a hooper. I could tell he could ball. But, like, he has a different level of intensity late in these games. He has a fire in him that we didn't, there was no big game. So, like, that's the thing about Bridges, right? Some guys are, you know, all-stars that can have 40-point games and, you know, the Lukas and the Ant-Mans of the world. But a guy like Mikal Bridges is like a plus-plus role player. The first plus is because, yeah, he's a role player. He's going to play defense, and he has some nights where he can cook up and he can score. But the other plus is, like, when the lights are at their brightest, when the moment's at the big, it's regular for him. Like, this is so regular for him. To step up how he stepped up tonight, shooting the ball, and then on defense, and that's why I said, again, this guy ends up, when the clock is running out with the ball in his hands, again, this guy ends up, you know, chucking the ball down the court like he's worth what they traded for to get him, because they knew in those moments he would be like this. They knew in this, like, this team would fit like this together, or at least that's what they had hoped for, right? This team to fit like this together to beat Boston. And so far, they haven't lost to Boston. James is out on Long Island. James, you're on the Fan next.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I just want to say, as much as we miss Dante and Randall, this is why we made the trade right here. I mean, look at Kat here, galvanizing the team. They were quiet. They were dead. They were ready to, you know, Brunson didn't look so good. None of them looked incredible, really. Brunson had 8 points, I think, until the fourth quarter. And Kat coming, driving to the hoop, bringing the intensity here that we needed in the playoffs. We knew the last few years it wasn't really working. You know, we looked good, but we know we struggled here and there, and we never really got past the sump. And it takes two guys that play with that intensity. Brunson couldn't do it alone, and I think Kat is a perfect fit for this team.
Yeah, Kat, Bodega Kat turned it on early in the game. Thanks for the call, James. I know I was clipping it in the stadium. I took the screenshot because Mikal Bridges had zero in the first half. And Brunson, like I said, it felt like Brunson was 3 for 10 with 7 points for way too long. But Kat, he wasn't trying to shoot the three. Kat was getting it done in the paint. He had 14 points, and he also had 10 rebounds. So, like, early in that game, you could tell, like, all right, it's different. And I talk about how in the series you're playing the same team over and over again. You got to give them different looks. You got to attack them different ways. And tonight it was Kat that got it started. 888-808-1019. Let's go back to Charlie in Holmdale, see if Charlie's there. A one, a two, a three. Wake up, Charlie.
Hey, Keith, how's it going? I apologize. Would you expect anything different from a CBA grad? I had the phone on mute. You know, tonight was so special. You know, I got to watch the game with my dad, you know, and just, it was just an unbelievable feeling how they came all the way back. And then the way they won was just remarkable. I mean, Mikal Bridges, I mean, if you can't pat that guy on the back for the last two wins, I mean, you're not really a Knicks fan. You know, I grew up on those 90s teams.
Enough of the Bridges hate. Nobody's hating on him now because, you know what? In New York, we value the postseason and the playoffs so much that it can erase. Like, he's already erased the regular season. People have forgotten about what they were saying about him in the regular season.
Yeah, we won those two games on defense, not offense, which is, like, unheard of in the NBA these days.
I mean, what I'm seeing here, and thanks for holding, and thanks for calling back, Charlie, and, yeah, CBA, nah. I used to go to the CBA dances. CBA is a Christian Boys Academy, all-boys school in Monmouth County. They're pretty good. They're pretty good at all the sports. But they would have these, like, dances where they would invite all the girls from all the schools in the other, you know, towns in the county. And then the dudes wouldn't even show up to the dances. And I always used to find a way. I went to like two or three of them. And the ratio would be like 70% girls to 30% guys. And I didn't go to CBA. Those were good times back in the day. Sidebar. But yes, you know, with the Knicks and the Celtics, what I'm seeing is a Celtics team that thinks that they can do their new age, chuck up a bunch of threes, shooters shoot, they're going to fall at some point. Three is more than two, so if we chuck up more threes than you put up twos, we're going to win. Like I said earlier in the show, the Celtics are so stubborn, they want to win their way instead of taking what the Knicks give them. The Knicks, they'll go through the front door, the back door, the side door. They'll go through the kitchen. Whichever way you let them in to potentially win the game, they're taking it from you. And if that's defense, if that's Brunson shooting shots, if that's Mikal Bridges shooting shots, if it's and one, if it's getting to the line, if it's whatever, if it's finding an extra pass, you want to leave Josh Hart open, Josh Hart will get it done. If it's blocks, if it's assists, it's steals, they are doing everything in their power to fight and claw and scratch their way to victory. The Celtics want to do it their way, and it ain't working so far. 888-808-1019. Anthony is in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Keith. Great show. Yeah, you kind of just mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. I mean, really, Cat kept him in that game through the whole first half. I mean, I was working, still working. I couldn't watch it live, so I was just checking my phone. And it's like early in the third period, and I'm like, you know, they're down by like 18, and then I look at the stats, and you know, Bridges was 0-for-8. You know, Brunson was like 3-for-12. The only one that was like anything was Cat. And you know, I just want to see them shoot better. Just want to see them not have to just rely. But like you're saying, I'm just shocked that you know Boston is just you know playing right into their hands with this. And you know, I think what we're going to see in Game 3 is whether Boston changes it or not. I think a lot of their shooters are now going to be passing that three instead of shooting it because they're going to just get a little tight, and as the series goes on, they're going to get tighter and tighter, and yep. I think that's what's going to be good for us. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. The Knicks are completely in their heads. It started off with, like, you don't belong on the floor with us. We're going to shoot the lights out. We're up 20. We're up 20 again. Now, we got this one. Like, it's foolish. It is not the basketball you learn when you're young. I was in there tonight sitting with my boy Gabe, and I'm like, bro, when we were young playing, like, AU basketball, like, I had a coach, if you took a three and bricked it, okay, you got one. If you did that again, your ass is coming out of the game. Now, I know it's not, you know, 13-year-old AAU basketball versus the NBA, but it's like these guys don't stop. Like, Tatum took a shot late in the game in the right corner wing. And I'm like, bro, at his size, Tatum, he could put the ball on the floor, take four steps and be in the air dunking that. And they're not thinking to do that. They're thinking, oh, I got all this room, three. And it's like, how many do you have to miss? They're clearly just like, they are so stuck in their ways. They shot the most threes out of any team in history over these, you know, last 2 years, and they won a championship that way. They will go down that way. There's no other way. That's why I said Joe Mazzulla's getting out-coached completely. They just keep shooting. I was looking at Tommy Beer again. Shout out to Tommy Beer. He's got great stuff on Twitter. Their shot chart is full of X's. There are three X's that are not outside the three-point line. They missed some 20 in the first half. Like, I'm like, how are they not doing? Like, how does the coach say, nobody take a three, pass to the open man, and keep passing to get down low? Somebody, they can't. It's just like they are so stuck in their ways, they want to win their way. And so far it has cost them two games. 888-808-1019. And the Knicks are like, yeah, we'll hang around. We'll hang around because eventually we're going to go on our runs and we're going to make our threes and make our shots. And then when it gets tight, we got this kid Brunson that's not going to miss. And then, oh, Bridges can turn up as a plus-plus role player. Now, like, he ain't done anything the whole first half. He's waiting to kill you at the end. They played right into their hands. It's amazing. These have been two amazing playoff games. The Knicks have had the best playoff games in this entire NBA playoffs. I did see the Thunder had an 87-point half or something like that, but I'm not even on that. All right. It's about to be 1 a.m. This show ends at 2 a.m. Call me up if you want to continue to talk about the Knicks because that's what we're going to do. But if you want to talk about the Mets and Yankees in between, we could do that as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.